Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio. To Under a Shady Tree with Reverend Terry Power and Robin McKean. Come on in. Grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These two mountain witches are about to start their talk.
And good evening, everybody. Good afternoon, good morning, good wherever in the world you are. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Will. Those of you that have been listening know that Robin is taking a class on Thursday nights, and she's going to be trying to join us tonight a little bit late, but she told me, and I quote, "I'm not making any promises." So we will go with that and hope that she can join us sometime in the show. But tonight is really exciting because we are introducing David Axelrod, who is going to be doing our Wednesday night show. We're bringing in a new host, a new show on Wednesday nights, and we're just incredibly excited to be adding David to the show. And let's go ahead and bring him in. So as soon as it I'm pushing buttons and the thing's not doing anything. There we go. Hey, there
you
are.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Excellent.
So, David, welcome to the family. Welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
Thank you. I'm doing very well. Great to be here. Great to be part of the conversation.
I'm so pumped that you are joining the family, and the material that you have sent us and the conversations that we have had. I'm just so much looking forward to you being a part of the family here. So I just want to say welcome and thank you. So for those that are not familiar with David Axelrod, why don't you take a couple of minutes. Actually, take as long as you want. We got an hour. What are we going to do? You are our guest tonight under the shady tree. So tell us about David.
Well, my background includes spending a lot of time in the field of economics. My education is through the doctorate, and I spent about 20 years working in finance in one way or another. But I've also done research on health economics, and I'm particularly interested in economics and decision-making and how it relates to spirituality. So that's kind of where my research interests are. I'm also a musician, and I've got over a dozen albums out, so I'm also very interested in, you know, how creativity, spirituality work with our decision-making. And I've got some background in Reiki, so I've got a few things that inform my perspective.
I understand.
That's my background. And what I'm particularly hoping to communicate is, the deep spirituality that exists every time we make a decision. And every time we act, it's an outgrowth of some kind of a decision, you know, whether it's, you know, sort of based on our physical instincts or our emotional drives or, you know, our intellectual reasoning or our spiritual inspirations. They're all decisions and choices that we make. We may not always like the alternatives that we're facing, but when we make choices, it has consequences.
Okay. All right, I'm going to ask you to talk for just a couple of minutes. A couple of minutes more. I'm going to back out. We're having some back-end technical issues and gremlins. You keep talking, and I'll be back in just a couple of minutes. So you're kind of on your own here for a minute, if you can handle that.
Thank you very much.
Just tell people about the show, and I'll be right back.
Okay. So the name of the upcoming show is Economics and the Spiritual Path. And, part of it will be about answering practical questions. But part of it is also enabling people to see how deeply spiritual economics is. It might seem absurd or ironic or impossible. But again, with economics, part of it has to deal with money, but a lot of it has to deal with making sound choices, making choices that increase your well-being, making choices that express who you are. And, you know, many, many times in economics, we kind of focus on the external assume that you like what you like, and what we're really interested in is, you know, what's the material outcome. But what I've seen in life is that the sense of well-being is not just, you know, the material things that you have. Those are very important. You need some material assets in your life, you know, food, clean water, clean air, some shelter. There are some basics that you need. Yes. Are you there?
Okay. Yeah, I'm back. So got the issues handled on the back end and all is well. So, no, I was just listening to you talk. I'm excited about the show and what you're going to be bringing to it. So, please continue.
Oh, okay. All right. So we can't ignore the material. That is, you know, part of having a material manifestation with which our spirit can express itself. But one of the things I've noticed is that our sense of well-being is related not just to the material, but how easily we can express ourselves, whether it's in a big way or in a small way. And, you know, the types of goals and aspirations we take on, those by themselves can give us a sense of well-being, whether or not we achieve them in a big way or a small way or we struggle. So it's not just about accumulating success. It's also about enjoying the path to it, no matter how big or how small. And another aspect is that, you know, how we embrace the spiritual also says something about how we connect with other people. And
So I'm sorry to interrupt. Let me jump in and ask a question. So you're saying that it's not just the destination, it's about the journey itself.
Yes. That's one thing. Another thing, another way to say it is, if you're in a competitive environment, how you win influences what you win. And, you know, how you go about achieving what you want is going to affect whether you can enjoy what you've achieved. So, there's very deep spirituality there. There's another aspect of the deep spirituality in that, you know, who the decision maker is. And that gets into some very interesting questions about personal identity. Who's the decision maker? In economics, we talk about principals and agents, and that can be very challenging to be clear about. And even within ourselves, because we have like a physical self, an emotional self, a rational self, a spiritual self, and depending, you know, which one is kind of in charge at the moment, we make different choices. You know, sometimes when we make a choice, you know, it might be a choice about a car or clothing, but in fact, what we're choosing is not so much the qualities of the car or the clothing or the jewelry. What we might be choosing more is the emotion that's associated with it. And, you know, once you recognize that, then the object associated with it, you know, all of a sudden that the particular form is not that important. It's what you've invested emotionally into it. You know, one of the ways I, you know, try to communicate this to my students in my macroeconomic class when we're talking about GDP, which is a measure of economic activity, and you know, one of the things that we do as economists, we say is, well, you know, how much you're willing to pay for it is a proxy for how much it's worth to you and so how valuable it is. But then I'll challenge my students by saying, well, you know, imagine you're going to go see a movie. Now, if you're going out with a bunch of friends, you know, maybe you're going to be willing to pay $10 or $12 for that ticket because you're going out with your friends. You know, it's something you're doing with your friends. But imagine the same movie, but you're going by yourself. You know, no one else. There's nothing, you know, no camaraderie or anything like that. You're just going to go by yourself. It might not be worth $10 or $12 for you to go to that movie. Maybe it's only worth $5. You know, maybe you just, you know, stay at home and wait till it comes out on Netflix. And, you know, by recognizing that, you know, the challenge is to say, well, is it the movie that was worth $10 or $12 when you paid for it? Or really was the movie only worth $3, but the friendship and the social gathering, that was what was worth $7 or $9 of that to you? And, you know, once you kind of recognize that, once the students recognize that, you know, it really opens up the conversation to, oh, well, what's the value of, you know, friendships? What's the value of having a society that gets along together? And, you know, you may have to still do material things in order to have an expression of that, those social relationships, but it's how well we get along that can be even more important than, you know, the usefulness of what it is that we're buying. So,
okay,
that's
so
another way.
Itself, the experience itself is part of the value more than the object, or at least as much as the object, or that's a question you have to ask yourself.
That's right. You know, in many ways, you know, what this would suggest is that, if you have wonderful friends that you love spending time with, you know what? You're going to be more willing to go out and hang out with them. And so you might be more willing to spend a little bit more. You know, it's like, you know, if they're going to go someplace like a fancy restaurant and, yeah, it's normally out of your budget, but, you know, you love spending time with them, then it's worth it. And so the irony is then, you know, the better our friendships, the better our relationships, you know, the more we enjoy each other's company, you know, the more we're going to be willing to use our resources, you know, which include money, to share that time. So it's not a matter of trading off one for the other. It's, you know, good social relationships, good relationships with your neighbors. You know, that just increases the value of everything.
Right, and then with that, some of the external things become, you know, the things become less important, where we perceive, where we recognize that those are vehicles to the relationship, and then sometimes simpler ways of expressing that relationship find their ways into our lives without the monetary attachment to them.
Exactly. And, you know, again, you know, money is there's something I like to an analogy I like to use, which is finances to economics as metaphysics. So, you know, you can't ignore the financial, but, you know, ultimately it's not just about money. It's about all the different resources that we have. You know, I mean, there's the natural resources, there's our time. The compassion we share with people. You know, we don't have infinite amount of resources, to do everything we want. So love may be unlimited, but our, you know, ability to express love is still finite.
Well, that also gets into how different people express and perceive love.
That's right.
And those relationships. You know, the whole, you know, the five ways to show love and the five ways to receive or perceive love, you know, doing for having done for. Like if I enjoy doing something for someone to express my affection for them, if the person that I'm doing that for doesn't perceive love in the same way, then I'm wasting my time and they're getting frustrated. So,
it all
comes back to that kind of economics and expectations.
Yes, that's very true. And you know, and what you bring up is a really good point, and, you know, about in terms of expressing love is, you know, is it about, you know, wanting to, you know, give yourself a release, or is it about, you know, giving what someone wants? And that's, you know, that's sort of a big challenge, because to give someone something that they want or something that's really valuable to them, you know, requires that you actually know them, you know, that you understand them well enough to realize, I could give them a little statue, and because I love little statues or something like that. But if that's not something that they're going to enjoy, or if it's, you know, to them it's just going to be something else to dust, then that's not the best expression of your love for them as a unique person.
Yeah, that's part of what Robin and I teach in our workshops is the language of love.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like it kind of dovetailed in with some of your ideas about economics and the value of and resources, not just monetary, but time, our emotional resources? How do we engage in whatever we're doing on an emotional and a mental level? Those are resources that we are putting toward a goal. Am I understanding you correctly?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, associated with that is also is the nature of time. You know, because sometimes we're putting something towards a goal, in other words, something that's going to manifest in the future. And sometimes, you know, it's about enjoying the moment right now, you know, that, you know, where you are right now, you know, whether you're with friends or whether you're doing ritual, you know, whether, you know, enjoying a walk in a park or a reservation. And, you know, that requires two different focuses, you know, the focus towards a goal, towards something in the future, to something, you know, outside of this particular moment. That can be very, very valuable. And you can do amazing things when you have, you know, more time leading up to something in the future. But that's a different focus. That's almost, you know, the way to understand it. It's like it requires vision. It requires seeing into the future because it's at a distance. Whereas, you know, making the most of the current moment is not so much about vision as about feeling and sensing. And, you know, it's sort of the difference between expressing, you know, externally and expressing internally. You know, or what I would like to do is say the difference between expressions and impressions.
Okay. Okay.
And you know, and how we connect with each other, you know, whether we connect with someone as if we're all internal with each other, you know, that can be a wonderful expression of, you know, a higher consciousness, you know, that feeling in the moment that, you know, you're all connected. And another form of, you know, expression of, you know, divinity or higher consciousness is, you know, the recognizing of something larger than yourself, even if it's, you know, not completely in you because it's larger than you.
Okay. All right, well, very cool. Let's go ahead and take a quick break.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to listen to a song tonight. We've heard enough male voices, so I'm going to play a song by Wendy Rule. One of the artists that I actually gush on, even, you know, even now, I've met her several times. I still gush on her every time I see her. Just amazing woman. And so Wendy Rule, World Between Worlds, and we're going to play that and an ad and a couple of things, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Everybody stick around.
Found me more. International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more, all available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio, so go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
To Under a Shady Tree with Reverend Terry Power and Robin McKean. Come on in. Grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. You're listening to Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you Virginia.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are Under a Shady Tree with Terry and, well, tonight with Terry and or David. During the break, I was talking about, hey, from time to time, you're going to hit the wrong button. And damned if I didn't hit the wrong button. So, started playing the intro again instead of the rejoin. And yeah, it happens to us even after, I'm close to 10 years of doing this on two networks. So, there we are. So, I was just listening to that song by Wendy Rule. And I remember the first time I met her. I was at a Corellian event. It was actually the weekend that I was made an elder of the tradition. And I was sitting, she did a concert for us, and I was sitting right up front, and I had to remind myself to breathe. I realized I was holding my breath. She sang, and she was maybe 20 feet from me, and just the power of her voice, amazing. I've been a huge fan of hers since. So, always enjoy playing her songs and listening to her voice. And met her again. We got a chance to catch up and talk a little bit at Caldera Fest, and that was a huge experience. just, you know, 29 artists. You know, every one of them a headliner in their own right, all in one place. So looking forward to doing that again. We've already got our press credentials. Robin and I will be there in October next year. So all excited about that. So anyway, welcome back to the show. And David, thanks for sticking around. And thank you again for bringing what you're bringing to the network. This is a topic that needs to be discussed so people can understand the economy of their investment, their total investment, whether it's, you know, spiritual or financial or mental or emotional, all of those resources and how we spend those resources, even our time, how we express ourselves through those expenditure of resources is going to determine how we live our lives. And I think it's just so cool that you bring that all together.
Oh, thank you. It's it's a bit of a love and a passion of mine to try to bring all those things together.
So, go ahead.
Well, if you want to bring a more peaceful world, you have to make it easier for people to communicate with each other, and people don't just have different word languages. They have different emotion languages, and they have different physical languages. And the challenge is to, try to see through them to, what the intent and the spirit is behind all of it. Because it's a lot easier to, give room to other people to either, make mistakes or, not get something quite right, if you trust that they've got a good heart, that they, they really want something constructive out of it. And, certainly in terms of, any spiritual work or, divine and religion, the challenge is, I guess feeling the certainty that, whoever you're talking with is, is there with you, even if they're not using the same language.
Well, finding a common language is often the first step in building any relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes the first element of language, is not necessarily words, it's a shared experience. Just to have something that you can look at each other and go, yeah, that happened. I validate your experience. That happened.
Yeah, well, one thing that is uniquely, universally human is a smile.
And that's absolutely another experience.
Right, so if you can share a smile with someone, even if your spoken languages are completely foreign to each other, you've begun to build right there. So,
yeah.
That is universal, and that's a good starting off point. Share a smile with somebody. A stranger on the street, just smile and say, good afternoon or good morning. That can make the world a better place just because, that person may be having the worst day of their life and you just gave them a smile.
Yeah.
I mean, it matters.
It's not how big it is, it's how on the mark it is. Sometimes it's better to do a small thing at exactly the right time than to try to do something really big, but it's just not the right time.
Yeah, and the sincerity of the act, the genuineness.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm not sure if genuineness is a word, but I think it successfully conveys the idea.
Yep. I think sometimes people might use the word authentic.
There you go. Good word.
Yeah.
language matters, and it's fun to talk to somebody that gets that language matters. And authentic is an amazing word, exactly what we're trying to say here.
Yeah. Well, and it also, authenticity also comes with a sense of whether you trust someone. Because if you don't trust someone, it's difficult to see them as being authentic. And if you can't ever see someone as authentic, then you're really not going to listen to them.
Yeah, and,
that's a challenge.
You can't trust anyone. So they're always wondering, well, why did he smile at me?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. What is that about? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, he opened the door for me. What does he want?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and I've experienced that up here, and I say up here because I was raised in the South, and I was raised with a certain set of behaviors that a gentleman performed. You know, my wife gets up to go to, you know, if we're at a restaurant, she gets up to go to the restroom. I stand up when she leaves. I stand up when she returns. That's the way I was raised. But when I try to open a door for someone up here, I sometimes get looks like, well, what do you want? I'm being true to my raisin. What do you want? You know? You know, my grandfather would be doing somersaults in his grave if I didn't reach for that door, you know? So, you know, that understanding of, you know, different cultures, different reasons for, you know, and being able to allow people to be genuinely nice. If you distrust everyone, then that's always going to be a question.
Yeah.
All right. So as we hurtle toward the top of the hour, what's the format of your show? I mean, are you going to be expecting callers? Or is this going to be? Go ahead.
Well, I guess what I'm imagining is, you know, the first part of the show, I'll talk about some particular topic of some of the classes I've developed. Kind of hoping at over the period of the 13 or so shows, essentially, be able to provide people with a whole class, which is typically like about 5 or 6 hours worth. So that might be the first part of the show, and then on days that I have a co-host, there'll be some conversation around that, and then I'm also hoping that there'll be some call-ins. So if people have specific questions, if there's something I can help them with, I'd love to be able to help them.
Okay, so you will be giving advice and encouragement to people that maybe want to call about a particular issue that they need to talk about.
Yeah. And to the extent that I can, help them, I will. Probably, the things that I might be best at helping with them with is, going through a decision. Or, if they have philosophical questions about, the relationship between spirituality and economics, of course, I'd love to discuss that, too. The main thing is getting clarity about, what are their choices and what is it that they're really inspired to do and how those two relate.
And helping them understand the why of the choices they have been making.
What you're saying is a really important distinction, being clear about the why and the how. We've gotten sloppy in our language, and, sometimes people say why when they mean how and how when they mean why. And, why is about the purpose and how is about the instruments and the mechanisms for getting there. And sometimes you need to use different hows based on the environment that you're in. Never lose the why. As long as you understand your why, then you can understand, what will be the best how, whatever the moment is. But if you're trying to fix the why around the how, then your spirit is always going to be lost.
Yeah, well, one of the things I teach in other ways is understanding the why I made the decisions I made in the past will help me to understand the changes I need to make in the future. How to make a different decision based on why I made the old one.
Yeah, yes. That is a very important distinction. And to go further with that is, to be mindful enough, to be aware enough to know when you might be one of those, precious moments in life where you're at choice about your spirit and the why of your life, the purpose of your life. To be able to say, that had been the purpose of my life, and I'm not choosing for that to be the purpose of my life anymore. I'm going to have something else be the purpose of my life.
Well, I mean, and that comes with life. That comes with life changes. I mean, every passage through life, going from a child to a young, to a young adult in training, in that 13-ish age, going from that to becoming an adult, from an adult to a married or fully, engaged adult, becoming a parent, becoming a grandparent, putting kids through school. Every one of these life changes, these rites of passage, or the passages, whether they're recognized by a rite or not, every one of these passages changes the why of our decision making.
That's right.
And understanding that and being, to use your word, mindful of that is a big part of the battle. Being mindful. And that's why I think, as an aside, why I think we need to encourage the use of rites to mark these passages and honor those passages and help us to understand that we've entered a new phase, and then have members of the community to help us to understand the new why. In our new role or new world.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you need to have, to have some kind of a landmark. To remind yourself that, this is a new phase of life. This is not, where I was 10 years ago or even 5 years ago.
The day my first child was born, I was a different person before I found out she was pregnant. Then I was a different person during the pregnancy and the moment of his birth. My world was radically altered.
Yeah.
In that one instant, I became a father. I wasn't, a married man. I was now a father. In that moment, everything changed. Sharing that with others, helping people that are coming into that, is part of what the community should be doing. That's part of the returning to the village that Robin and I talk about. But I digress. But I think it does go to the why of our decision making. How that changes through our lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think maybe one of the most important aspects of community and society is to, pass on learned experiences. If you can, avoid making the mistakes, of the past, you get to do new, more interesting things.
Right, make a whole be more interesting.
Yeah, and it's not to say that, you know, I mean, every generation still is going to have to, you know, experiment and learn and make their mistakes. But those things that have been, you know, true for thousands of generations, you know, you might as well start with that wisdom, you know, respecting that wisdom, you know, and, you know, it's useful to know where you're starting from, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, it's you don't want to be in a position where you have this wealth of knowledge. You know, it's like if you were to, you know, if you're hungry and you're trying to find a place to eat, and you think you've got no money whatsoever, but in fact, in your back pocket there's $100. You might be, you know, trying to find like free food, and you starve yourself to death because you think you can't afford it. And you've had it there the whole time. But you got to know that it's there.
Hence the village.
Sometimes you just need, you know, acquaintances or friends that will just point out, have you checked your back pocket?
There's a country music song. Now, country music today is the storytellers of this generation, but there's a song called Sounds Like Life to Me, and this guy is crying to his buddy about all the things that are going wrong, and his buddy says, sound like life. So, you know, you make it sound like you're trapped in some tragedy. It sounds like life to me. And sometimes we need somebody like that to say, you know, this isn't Greek tragedy. It's, you know, stuff happens, you know. The car breaks down, you know. Stuff happens, you know. So that's
just because, you know, unfortunate things happen doesn't mean that the world's, you know, out to get you. It's, you know, that's part of, like you said, that's part of being alive. Life is about change and transformation. And, you know, when you have more than one living thing on the planet, you know, sometimes you have conflict. And another aspect of life is that it's, intended to, you know, you grow, and then you have, you know, your peak of your life, and then there's decay so that another life can come in and have that experience.
And hopefully we learn from the people that came before us. So anyway, we are really getting close to the top of the hour. We may actually run a little bit late. So how does someone, other than tuning in on Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock, how does someone get in touch with you? Is there an email address that you want to share with the listeners?
Well, the easiest email address will be at daxe@daxe.com, so dax@dax.com. That's one way that you can connect with me. I have another website, which is davidaxeroddphd.com, so davidaxeroddphd.com. And if you go to that website, you can send a message to me there that way as well. Let's see. Those are probably the two main ways to contact me as far as emailing.
All right, fair enough. Well, I'm excited about the show. I'm excited to have you as a member of the family. And, you know, you mentioned 13 shows, but I envision this as an ongoing relationship beyond those 13 shows and on into the future. So, you know, we'll take it as it comes, but I'm hoping that you're with us for a little while. All right, cool. Now, a few programming notes. Let's see. Coming up this Tuesday night, the 15th, Robin and I will be doing a full moon ritual here on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. On the Power Hours, we'll be doing our full moon ritual and we'll be honoring veterans. So you might want to tune in for that. And let's see, then the following Tuesday night on the 22nd, we will be talking about gratitude. We're coming up on Thanksgiving. And, you know, it's a time when we here in America celebrating Thanksgiving on the Thursday of November, we're reminded of gratitude. And we're going to talk on Tuesday the 22nd about the spiritual aspects and the spiritual benefits of maintaining an attitude of gratitude. And so we'll be talking about all of that. Programming note, on Thanksgiving Day, we will be dark. We're going to actually be off the air so that all of our staff, all of our hosts, all of our members can share a day of gratitude with their families. So we will not even have a rebroadcast, because even a rebroadcast requires somebody to be at the computer. We're taking the night off. So the 24th of November, we will be dark. And on the 29th, we will be having our dark moon ritual and looking within. And you know, after this little period of gratitude, we're going to spend a little time looking within and heading into the Yule season. Also, on every Monday night, don't miss Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory with the Voice of Olympus. Their show is fascinating, and you don't want to miss it. It's a little of everything from Hellenistic myth to ancient origins stories. So tune in. It's always something different and interesting. And we're also starting, once a month, we're starting an interfaith dialogue, inter and intra faith dialogue, one night a month on Monday nights. So you'll be able to hear me and Robin from time to time, and other people of different expressions of faith all coming together to work together and build community. And of course, starting on the 16th of November on Wednesday, you'll have a chance to listen to David and the beginning of his show every Thursday night, with a couple of breaks in there for the holidays, and every Wednesday night for a while. So tune in for Economics and the Spiritual Path on Wednesday nights, starting on the 16th. Thank you, David. And welcome.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
I'm excited. I mean, this has been a great conversation tonight, and I look forward to the next get together for planning for Sumera Fair, and maybe getting a chance to sit down and chit chat about some of these topics in person. Let's see, places that you can meet me and Robin in person. We just finished up with the Florida Pagan Gathering. What an amazing experience. If you were listening last week to the live remote, you know what a great time we were having. Robin and I did three workshops. I got to narrate the main ritual. They had an Aztec ritual play, and I got to be the narrator. So I was very honored and had a blast. I mean, we just had an amazing time hanging out with all of our Florida Pagan friends. And they've got another event coming up in April. We'll be talking about it. You want to be there. Coming up in March, we will be running one of the tracks on building community and who do we serve at the Earth-Centered Clergy Conference coming up in Indianapolis, Indiana. We'll be starting an ad here very soon, and look for notices on our Facebook pages. And the Sumer Affair in June that we just mentioned, that Dax and I were talking about. And then in October, we are certainly going to be at Caldera Fest. There's all kinds of other times that we'll be out in the community. Stay tuned, listen in. And if you want us to come speak at your event, email us. You can get in touch with Robin and myself. We share an email address for just this purpose, and that is littlestonebridge@gmail.com. littlestonebridge@gmail.com. Email us, put something in the subject line to set it apart from the crowd emails that we get. And let us know if you want us to come speak at an event, or do a workshop with your group. And let's see, Facebook pages. You can find me. I am Terry Power. It shows me in Muncie, Pennsylvania. There's a few other guys that are lucky enough to share the same name. So make sure you find the one that says Muncie, Pennsylvania, and something about the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Robin's is easier. She is Robin A. McKean, and that's the only one with that name on Facebook, so she's a little easier to find. Also, look at my public figure page, Rev Terry Power HP. Follow me on Twitter, @RevTerryPowerHP, and there's the Spiritual Unity Radio Network Facebook page. Robin does all of that. But tonight I had to do all that myself. So with all of that said, Dave, did you have any final thoughts that you wanted to express to the listeners tonight before we sign off?
Well, let's say, when it comes to your spiritual life, recognize that money is a tool, but you don't have to be a tool for money.
Ooh, I like that. And at some point, I'm gonna call in on a Wednesday night, and I'm gonna ask you about the poor pagan syndrome, because that's a topic.
Yes.
That's a topic I want to jump into. I'm always fussing about it, so I want to get your take on it, and maybe I'll piss somebody off again. It happens from time to time. I look forward to your letters. David, again, I'm going to end with a thank you and a welcome. And everybody, tune in on Wednesday night and listen to this man. He's very smart, and he's got a lot to share with you guys. And I'm thrilled and honored that he has decided to join us. And with that, I am going to wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.